The amazing rock music that you hear in the background means that it's time to talk sports cards. It's the Golf Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com, and I've got Mike Lacusta, golf card collector with underscores in between the words on Instagram. He's the man. He's pumped because the Open Championship wrapped up yesterday, and there's a lot of golf to talk about. Mike, how you doing, man?
Totally. I'm great, Paul. Yeah, the Open was interesting, but before we get into that, I got to give you an ultimatum, okay? Okay. We've been doing this show for 6 months now, and I know we're not every week, but still, we're pretty far into this.
Yep.
You have not bought a golf card. So, my friend, the ultimatum has come. If by September, so I'm giving you like 6 weeks, you do not own a golf card, we're done.
He's calling me out. I love it. He's calling me out. But, Mike, I'm going to make you happy right now. We're not done, my friend. And here's why. I was waiting until this episode to reveal. We're on the same page.
Don't tell me you bought a Brian Harman card.
No, I wish.
Okay.
Actually, like,
I've got a story about a Brian Harman card, but I'll share that once we get into the Open.
Sounds good. We'll talk about Brian Harman. I finally bought the one that I was going to buy. The Scheffler for Kids PSA 5.
Okay.
There we go. So I got this. So it was listed for $225 or best offer for a long time. And I finally made the dude an offer. And I made an offer of $99. And they accepted it right away. So I got this for $99.
Let's go. All right. I'm pumped. All right. So by September, you don't own two golf cards. We're done. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Sounds good. I mean, look, man, I'm still a fan of Rory. You know, we've looked at a lot of his beautiful autos. Those would take significant investments to get into. I'm also, even though Morikawa missed the cut, we'll get into that. I'm still interested into your take on him. I like him. Also, Jon Rahm, man. Jon Rahm's got an SI for Kids card that's probably a little bit more affordable. And, you know, I don't know, he shot 63 on Saturday. So, but I was pumped. So Scheffler obviously didn't do what I thought he was going to do, but he shot 67 on Sunday and got into the top 25 for a little bit. So I don't know if he finished in the top 25 or not, but it was good to see him finish at even par and made me feel good about the SI for Kids PSA 5 for $99. What do you think?
I think he did great. I think Scheffler has been playing phenomenally. If you look at the last few tournaments, I mean, I don't have it all memorized, but I mean, he was right at the top at the Scottish Open that Rory won. And I mean, I've been casually watching golf for the last 6 weeks, 5 weeks because of the baby. But every time I look at a leaderboard, he's right up there. So he might get booted out, you know, in the next 6 months of the number one position if Rory keeps up his hot streak. But I mean, between him, Jon Rahm, and Rory, I think the three of them are going to kind of keep bouncing back and forth. I don't think anybody else is giving them a run for their money. I think it's a great card. I think. You know what? Actually, I'm going to get into another ultimatum here.
Okay.
And this is for the manufacturers. That's right. This is Grumpy Mike on the pod today.
I like Grumpy Mike.
So I've been soft with Upper Deck. You know, I exchange messages with a guy that works at Upper Deck and he's pleasant and he likes getting my feedback. And, you know, I've liked the company forever. I mean, their basketball cards are my favorite from the 90s. Mid 2000s, I collected basketball cards and Upper Deck was my favorite brand. So they have a special place in my heart, but they are fumbling the ball with golf cards, man. And I've heard excuses. I've heard, podcasts where they talk about trying in the past to create rookie classes and yearly releases, and it just wasn't successful. You know what? If their business and they're saying it's not working out, I mean, that's not for me to comment on. I'm the collector. You're the investor, Paul. And I think putting our heads together, we've got both spectrums of the hobby. Yeah. And I'd say we're both done with Upper Deck and their crappy releases. 2021 was so exciting. Three new releases. And I thought they would carry that on year over year. And they just haven't released anything since 2021. And what really pushed me over the edge on my take here is recently Goodwin Champions 2022. Goodwin Champions was just released. There are two golfers in the set. There's three technically, but one of them is John Pack. First of all, I don't even know who the guy is. Second of all, he only has some autograph cards. He doesn't have like the base cards and the parallels and all that. So if you look at the actual base set, there's two golfers, Tiger Woods and Will Zalatoris. Will's a great prospect, but he's injured right now. So mm-hmm. it's like, we have nothing.
What are we
nothing
doing?
Nothing. Metal Universe Champions is coming out in, gosh, probably a few days. I think it's this Friday, maybe. And if Metal Universe Champions is a flop as well, I haven't taken a look. They might have uploaded a checklist already. Man, I'm going to call for action. So here's the call for action.
Okay.
Upper Deck, pull up your pants. Or Brian Gray over at Leaf. Come on, man. You've done golf sets the right way before. Paul, have you ever seen, I think it's 2011 and 2012, Leaf Metal Golf?
I'm looking at one right here, a little prismatic.
There you go, that prismatic. I mean, how look at that. Just click on that card, that green one there.
Yeah.
So this is like a chrome, Topps Chrome, Panini Prism style of card. Stunning on-card autos. These are numbered. They're just great cards. And they have base cards too. It's not just all autos. Some Leaf sets are just auto cards. They've got base. They've got base prisms. They spell prism with an S, I think, so that they don't get in trouble with Panini. Or actually, no, this came out before Panini Prism. So, you know, maybe Panini did the Z to avoid. Anyways, so Leaf, if Upper Deck doesn't figure their stuff out, then man, you guys, Brian, step up. And if Leaf and Upper Deck both don't pull it together, here's the third option. I mean, PIF, which is a public investment firm of Saudi Arabia, has pretty much purchased the PGA or merged and whatever. So PGA, LIV, and I think the European Tour maybe are all kind of in one umbrella now. There's got to be some kind of players association that some manufacturer can strike a deal with. I don't know who it is, Fanatics, Super Glow. I don't give a shit. Just give us a good, give us a good golf set. And strike the deal with the big umbrella. And I don't care if individual players aren't signing cards. If we just get some, you know, sweet metallic or chromium base cards with refractors, colored parallels. I mean, if Rory McIlroy is on his high horse and won't sign cards, I don't know if he isn't, but I mean, the fact that he was only released in 2012 to 2014 kind of time frame, I assume the Upper Deck hasn't been able to keep him going because he's kind of one of the goats. Probably. And I've heard from Upper Deck that players just demand a lot of money and it just doesn't make business sense. But if that's the case, strike the deal with a Players Association or whatever umbrella company has the NIL, the name, image, likeness of the organization, and just get us a chromium, you know, a chrome gold numbered out of 10 Rory. And we're all going to eat it up.
Love it. Yeah, I agree, Mike. I like Krabby Mike. He's onto something here.
All right.
We need more golf sets. It's ridiculous. The fact that like, again, I could be missing something, but the fact that like Rahm and Scheffler don't even have anything past SI for kids. They don't, right? They don't have literally anything. And they're like,
dude, okay, let's get into the Open. Before we get into the Open, let's just talk about the majors this year. Cause we've finished the four majors.
Yep.
You know, the season's not done. We've still got the playoffs, the FedEx Cup playoffs coming up, the race to Dubai for the Europeans, which by the way, I think Rory might even be leading the race to Dubai, but he's not leading the PGA FedEx Cup. So it's kind of funny that, anyways, and then we've got the Ryder Cup's coming in September or early September. So we've got the golf season's not done. Okay. So there is action. There's plays to be made. There's excitement to watch. But with the four majors done, we're definitely well into the golf season. And I want to kind of paint a picture here. You might have to spark my memory, but so the Masters, did Rahm win it this year?
The Masters, oh my God.
So John Rahm won the Masters. You go fact check everything I'm about to say.
John Rahm won the Masters.
Rahm won the Masters. What cards does he have? He has nothing for cards other than
a Sports Illustrated for Kids card. I'm almost positive that's
it. He does. But okay. But come on, man. I'm talking about.
That's it. No,
I'm talking
about
Panini, Fanatics. I'm talking about the guys that have done golf sets, Upper Deck. And Leaf.
It's
like, how is this children's magazine doing better than you?
I know
they're not even a card manufacturer. They're a children's magazine, and they're on top of things. So if Sports Illustrated for Kids,
like go buy this John Rahm PSA 7.
Hey man, if this is the reality we live in and this is going to be the best John Rahm card we get, I'm not complaining here. I'm just saying these companies are dropping the ball. And so
I agree.
So let's move on. So the PGA, Brooks Koepka, same thing.
Yep.
Same thing. The exact same card as John Rahm. He's got a Sports Illustrated kids and nothing else. Let's move on. Who won? Oh,
US Open.
Yeah, the US Open was, what's his name? Wyndham Clark.
Yep.
So Wyndham Clark has nothing. I don't even think he has a Sports Illustrated kids. Just to do a quick search to see if he has anything. And I mean, he's the kind of guy, he's not a superstar, but he's a good player. I mean, he's kind of like, I don't know who a comparison in like in the NBA would be, like LaMelo Ball maybe, or like, you know what I mean? Like a great player. I don't know if LaMelo was an all-star last year, but you know what I mean? Like a great kind of, not a vet yet, just still sort of a young prospect who's, you know, played some great golf.
Wyndham Clark has nothing.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing. There's a custom card of his, which I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
All right. Last but not least, let's get into Brian Harman. Brian has no Sports Illustrated for kids, but he does have Leaf golf cards. So before we start looking at them, I'm going to tell you a little story about a purchase I made. This was literally 2 weeks ago. So one of my safe searches popped up a Gary Player Leaf metal auto, numbered out of 25. It's that green prism style. And I'm a big Gary Player fan. I think he is underrated in the hobby. Maybe because he's not American. I mean, he's South African, but he's got like, I think, 5 or 6 majors. Like, I mean, he's up there. Like he's top 20 in terms of major performance, if not better. And I saw his an auction started at 99 cents. And so I saved it. And then I checked out the seller's other cards, and he had some stuff that I wanted. So I've been trying to buy a Keegan Bradley Leaf auto, like the prism refractor type, numbered out of 50 or less was my criteria. And he had one of those at auction again, also starting for 99 cents. And the third card was a Brant Snedeker, similar, you know, refractor leaf metal auto. And that's he's holding up the Canadian Open trophy wearing the plaid jacket, which is, you know, our green jacket that we have in Canada is plaid. And so I saw these three cards. So I saved them all. I said, you know what, I'm going to go after this. Cause if I win all three auctions, I get combined shipping. I messaged a guy on just saying, hey, would you combine shipping? He said, yeah, no problem. And by the way, a little sneaky trick for kind of my cynical mind. When I message somebody about an auction, I kind of suspect if it's a bad seller, they might take that as, oh, I've got an interested guy in this auction, and I might shill this up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
or I might do something. And so
okay.
Whenever I message somebody about combined shipping, I message them on a different auction that I'm not interested in. So I'll pull up one of his other auctions, say, and then I'll contact him, and they're saying, hey, I'm bidding on multiple of your listings. Would you be willing? And then that way it doesn't draw any extra attention to the ones I'm actually interested in. So anyways, I set prices that were, I thought, fair, but you know, numbers that I knew I would win the auctions on. And so I won all three. Now, while I was scanning through, he had a Brian Harman auto card.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had a couple other autos that I was interested in, and I saved them. I kept my eye on them. I eventually decided not to bid on them, cause I thought, it's just, you know, I don't need too many cards. These are the three that I was mostly interested in. And I thought, you know, I'd be willing to pay a few bucks for this Brian Harman card, cause I've actually wanted one for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
But the only ones I've
before this past weekend, of course.
Before this past weekend, I've wanted one. But he's the kind of guy I wasn't willing to pay more than $5 or $10 for. And so all the listings I saw were for $15, $20, $30. And even like the inscription ones where he hand numbers it and wrote, you know, go Bulldogs or whatever.
Yeah.
Those ones even were $25 US or higher. And I'm like, it's just not how much I want to spend on a Brian Harman card. So the card he had was a base prism or base metal leaf auto card. And the auction ended at, drumroll, 99 cents. One person bid on the auction.
No way.
And I almost threw like a $2 bid just to say, I'll just pick it up for a couple bucks. It'll be combined shipping with the rest of my purchase. That card was selling for $30 yesterday.
Yeah, bet it was. $30. It was. We're going to bring up some Brian Harman here in a second. Cause there's,
yeah, you pull it up. That's all I had to say about it.
So that, Mike, you're on it, obviously. And sometimes it's like you know what to do and you just don't make the play for whatever reason, but you know, good on you for at least being on it. And, yeah, I'll pull up Harman here in a second, but Canada is in the house. We got Jeremy Lee from Sports Cards Live stopping by to say hello. Jeremy, thanks for the love and support. And then number one golf strategy show fan, Evan Bell, down in Richmond, Virginia. Evan, good to see you. So thanks for stopping in here, guys. Let us know if you have any questions. But what I'm interested here in your take on, Mike, is so Brian Harman, to your point, auction ended at 99 cents. Prior to the end, so at some point prior to the end of the Open Championship, but now we have, look at this. So what's interesting to me about these listings is these are all his 2011 and or 2012 Leaf Ultimate Golf. 2011's Leaf Metal Golf. 2012 is Leaf Ultimate Golf. One of them's the Georgia Bulldogs inscription that you see here, blue 24 out of 25. And these all still have 7 days left. So these are people that basically just listed them over the weekend. And so now,
well, who could have predicted the week before the Open that he'd be the guy running away with it?
Exactly. Exactly. So I think it's interesting that you could be holding these cards that could have cost you like less than 10 bucks. And when a guy wins it, you know, people are still like 17 bids, 13 bids. I'm just a little surprised that like, that it's different in golf cards than what we see in other sports, because if we would have seen this happen in another sport, I think that having this in a 10-day auction, because these are obviously 10-day auctions, because these are more than 7 days remaining on auctions, that people have they listed them over the weekend, which is fine, but like 54 bids. I mean, this is going to sell this card right here out of 50. Now someone's got to pay for it, obviously. And we don't know, that's TBD, but it's got 54 bids and it's over $390 for an out of 50. Brian Harman, 2012 Leaf Ultimate Fresh Faces, authentic signature, silver auto raw. That's high, 54 bids. And I guess the reason I'm surprised is because it's like, if this would have ended today, that would have made more sense. Then now this auction is going to end.
Yeah, but you got to think,
after
Paul,
next
like,
weekend.
But Brian isn't, you know, LeBron James who made it to the finals, and then sellers are like, great, like I know, you know, I'm going to make this end on Sunday afternoon when, you know, the game five is on or whatever. Like that, you can't predict it like that. And these golfers are generally qualified for most big tournaments throughout the year. So if somebody wants Brian, they'll think, okay, well he just made the Ryder Cup team. Like there's no way he's not going to get chosen now. Yeah. So there's going to be big hype. Like he might have some big fist pumps come September. He got massive FedEx Cup points for winning the Open. So he jumped up the standings. He's going to make the playoffs. He could very well make it to the Tour Championship. And if he ends up, you know, right there at the top of the numbers, then the way that the Tour Championship works is that whoever has the top most FedEx Cup points starts the tournament at 10 under par. So they've got a really good chance of winning. So if he's like, you know, top five or whatever, then he's got, you know, it's like in Super Mario Kart, he's got that boost to like win the Tour Championship. So it's like, it's kind of like tennis. Like throughout the year, there's these big events, and you know, if your guy, as long as your guy has qualified for all the big events, you know, it's not like a typical sports season where it climaxes at the finals.
That's a good point. And what I really love about this though, more than anything, is that this is happening based on player performance. So never mind the fact that there's still 7 days left in these auctions. I think it's cool that there are a lot of bids on these items. These cards are going to sell. They're going to sell for massively more than they would have sold a week ago. And I love when player performance drives the sports card market. I just think that is always super intriguing to me. And And I think it's interesting, in the last show you and I did together, we talked about how you could kind of snipe during Sunday as a guy's moving up the leaderboard if you were sneaky enough to go look at buy it now listings that were older. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if, you know, I still think that's a play where this is kind of the other side of that play, where you could do that potentially and then you could immediately list it. And even if there's still more than 7 days left on the auction after a big win, you could profit like this if you're out there trying to get, you know, maybe why not go and get four out of the top five guys on the leaderboard on Saturday if they're not big names and they're underpriced still. If you can find the buy it now, the people who haven't updated the price on the buy it now, question is, are they going to actually ship you the card? They should.
I mean, I appreciate the way their wheels are turning. I've got a shoebox right here on my desk full of guys like that. Yeah. Like, and at the end of the day, I mean, I'm a collector. So
yeah,
I see guys playing well. I kind of want them just to have all the good players. Mm-hmm. I've noticed with golf, I mean, the sellers have always shipped me the cards.
Yeah.
The problem with buy it nows is that, like Brian Harman, for example, I think the cheapest might have been $20 US for buy it now. I know that some of these sellers would have accepted offers of $8, $10, whatever. If you got lucky and you caught an auction for Ryman Harmon card, which I was watching and sold for 99 cents, you know, those are the kind of things that I'm always keeping my eyes out for, just regardless of what's happening in tournaments. And I'll throw a $4 or $5 bid and just see if I can win them. And I do on occasion. I like the way you're thinking. Just buy up, you know, the only five guys who are near the top of the leaderboard who actually have cards.
Yeah, and it's still going to be a risk because you never know what's going to happen on Sunday. But
everybody has their day, though. Like, mm-hmm. if you look at Nick Taylor, I mean, he was a nobody. I was buying Rick Taylor rookie autos for $1, $2 off of ComC. I'd buy four or five of them, and they'd ship with my other cards. And now they're selling for $15, $20. And his rookie patch autos are selling for $50, $60 when before they were selling for $10. So, and he's held. So since he won, his pricing has not come down. All the Canadians are you know, wanting a sweet Nick Taylor card for their Love collection. It.
That's awesome. Well, I know who my next card is going to be because you said I have to buy another.
That's right. One more
before September. I'm going to hold that to the end of the show. We're going to keep it moving here. So Mike, take us through where you want to go next. I know you've got a win, some wins that you want to talk people through. You want to go there?
Yeah, sure. So actually, you know what? Let's hit losses, because the good news is I don't have any losses other than that Brian Harman situation. So we'll move on to the wins. So first of all, like you mentioned, you're going to the National this week. Man, that's going to be fun. Send lots of pictures, post on social media. Cool. I want to know, I want to live vicariously because, I mean, financially and living in a different country and having a newborn in the house and everything, you know, won't be able to go maybe for a while, but the National, leading up to the National, has been a dream come true. I told myself we have a baby in the house that I was just going to keep my phone on silent, put it in the corner of the house, check eBay once a day. And I haven't been able to do that. To be honest here, every bathroom break, every time I'm walking the dog, I just take a quick glance at eBay. And I'll tell you this, leading up to the National, there's been more deals, more cards that I want, that I've been dreaming of, popping up on auction in particular, which is amazing, than I've seen all year. And I don't think it's a signal of what's happening in the sports card market. I truly believe it's a trend that leads up to the National every July. I was listening to the Sports Card Nonsense guys the other day, and they talked a little bit about the National. They had Chris from Card Ladder on, and he talked about this concept that leading up to the National, there's a lull. Not only is there a lull in prices, you can get steals, but also that cards that don't normally pop up show up on auction because guys are trying to save money for the auction. So they'll sell stuff that they wouldn't normally sell. And he pulled up data from the last 5 years. And 2020, there wasn't a National because of COVID, but 18, 19, and then 21 and 2022, there were. And sure enough, it was a between 11 and like 35% less or more. There was a 20 to 30% difference in July. Less transactions?
Less. I would say, I know where you're going here. I would venture to guess that you're talking about there being less transactions on eBay, thus potentially more opportunity for people to come in and snipe deals off of eBay that aren't going to the National. In other words, more attention going to cards at the National. And while there may be less transaction volume on eBay, I think there's probably also less, that prices are
less buyers
quite a bit. Yeah.
Less buyers. Now I wonder if it had to do with the actual market cap, like the number of sales, or if it had to do with actual prices dropping like 11 to 35%.
Well, I think less eyeballs on eBay auctions would be the case. Thus more opportunity to come in and potentially get deals.
In any case, listen to Sports Card Nonsense from one or two episodes ago and you can get the data yourself, but regardless, it proved my theory. And I've been winning. When we get to the buys segment, I'll share some of the stuff. One win, for example, so not golf related. Today I bought two cards. One of them was a hockey card that I really wanted. I collect Mike Smith, in case anybody has any sweet Mike Smith cards, particularly in the Arizona Coyotes jersey. So I got a deal on one of those this morning. But the other one, so I've got two boys. The newest is just a few weeks old, and we've named him Elwood. And we named him Elwood with two L's, inspired by this beautiful park that is in British Columbia, that family friends posted all these beautiful pictures of. And we just like the name and that kind of like, we like the spelling because of that park. And the only Elwood I've ever known in any, celebrity or friends or anybody was Elwood from the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood. And so Blues Brothers was one of my favorite movies growing up. 1980s, amazing film. And inspired by SNL, so there's a lot of humor in the movie. And my wife and I threw on the Blues Brothers last night because she'd never seen it, so we watched the Blues Brothers. Hit me in the nostalgia. And this morning I woke up, had a scrolling eBay first thing in the morning before I had to go get the kids, and I just thought, I wonder if the Blues Brothers have cards. So I found a 1980 rookie card of the Blues Brothers. It's got Jake and Elwood both on the card, and it's got a vintage look to it. It's like black and white and got a sweet white frame to it. If you want to actually look it up, maybe you can pull up on the screen while I'm telling the story. And so 1980, I forget the name of the set, but it's the PSA 5. So if you want to even look in the sold listings. So I came across this PSA 5, and so I only saw one graded, and I looked up, is there any other, versions of this card? There was a couple raws that were pretty rough. I looked up sold history. There was one that was sold earlier this year, and it was not a PSA 5. It was much rougher and off-centered. That sold for like $65 US. So the guy had it listed for $350 US. I sent him a message, and this is the funny part of the story. My wife and I take a picture of our son every month to show his progress. And when he was first born, we had a little wood cookie that has his his stats. So it has his name, Elwood, blah, 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 Lacusta, his weight, his length, the time he was born. And so I took this picture. I blurred out the middle and last names. And I sent it in a message to the seller. And I said, hey, brand new baby in the house, as you can see from my timestamp and my coin. And this is like my baby with the, and I'm like, his name's Elwood. And this would be just a really cool card to start off his collection. And so I offered him $151 and he accepted. So I don't know if that's a price point he was willing to sell at, or if I kind of hit him, pulled on the heartstrings saying, it's for my boy Elwood. But I thought the picture with the cookie with his name and stats was kind of like coining your card when you're trying to sell something on social media.
That's cool. I don't know which one of these cards it would be, but there's
the black
this
and white.
This one right here? Okay.
Yeah, so it's that one. Cool. But if you look up the sold listings, I actually bought that in a PSA 5. So here's a cool part. PSA, I looked up their what the population is. Pop 1, none higher. It's the only actual PSA graded copy of this card. And there's only two others for sale. And if you even look at them, there's well, that's not the one I bought, but if you look at all the ones that have sold or are still listed, they all are really rough condition. So, yeah, I feel like I got to steal a one of a kind card for my
That's
boy.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I like it. Great story too, in terms of the coining of the card with the little guy, and that's awesome. Very cool. All right. So, any other purchases that you wanted to highlight here? I've got some of your stuff. I've got your screenshots from your purchases pulled up here. I don't know if you want me to show them.
Yeah. Why don't you show it? Yeah. I've got some non-golf cards in there as well, but
there's some golf cards here. You want to take the audience through, there's also a Steve Nash, cause you know, got to represent Canada.
Can you zoom in a bit on that, or?
And about as much as I can do. So for the audience, we've got a Steve Nash 2022 Prism Mojo Refractor out of 25 that Mike bought.
So actually, I'm kind of glad that it's small, because then people can't necessarily see all the prices that I've been paying. Yeah. So Tony Finau. Let's just talk about the golf stuff. So Tony Finau Retro PMG Red, numbered out of 100, technically numbered out of 90, because 10 of them are green. Somebody listed that as buy it now for $60, and I snagged it immediately. Anytime you can get a retro PMG for like Matthew Wolf, for example, sells for $20 to $30, and he's my PC, so I love Matthew Wolf, but I get the impression that nobody else in the world is a big Matthew Wolf fan. Especially, he got kicked off of Brooks Koepka's LIV golf team, and Matthew Wolf doesn't even have anywhere to play golf right now.
Ouch.
So, I mean, he's a stunning player and he will pop up again. So I'm not worried, but I'm thinking if Matthew Wolf, who's, you know, nobody's really keeping an eye on, is selling for that. I mean, Tony Finau is top 10 player in the world. Let's focus on that one. So there's another Steve Nash card. I actually bought that on the day my son was born. And I told myself, I'm not going to check eBay today. But then first thing when I rolled out of bed, I scrolled eBay and this hit one of my saved searches. And it was $15 buy it now for Steve Nash Rookie Refractor. And it's graded a 9 with some random grading company. Yeah. These cards sell raw for double that. So I was like, geez, I guess I just got to hit buy it now, even though I told myself I wouldn't. Then there's a nice Tiger Woods card. So this is a Blast Furnace from 2021 Upper Deck Metal Universe Champions, the same set where the PMGs come out of. Blast Furnace is one of the inserts from that set. There's base Blast Furnaces, which look cool on their own, sell for a few bucks, maybe $5-6 at most. But this is the gold numbered out of 25. And I loved this card. I kind of was watching auctions sell for $250 roughly. And this one was on auction and I just decided I'm going to throw a bid out for 170 and I snagged it at 165. So I was pretty happy for Tiger numbered out of 25 with a really sweet looking image.
Yeah. That's a card I never would have known existed. And so I think that's cool. How do the inserts in Metal Universe, like, do they tip? I would imagine a Tiger out of 25 will always be like a pretty liquid card.
Absolutely. So the actual inserts themselves are super common. Like they're in every other pack. And so there's base Blast Furnace, there's base, what else they've got, Cut Above, which is actually a die cut card. Those ones sell for maybe $10 for Tiger, 5 to 10. So if you want a cool Tiger Woods die cut card, get a Cut Above. What other inserts were, Arc Weld, which is a really cool one. Funny enough, actually somebody in the Golf Cards and Memorabilia group posted an Arc Weld gold out of 25, which actually I think it looks even nicer than the Blast Furnace. He listed it for a ridiculous price, like $300. So I messaged him and I said, hey, this card's consistently selling for 150 on eBay. There's been like 4 or 5 sales. I'll offer you 140, which is probably more than you would net if you tried to sell it on eBay. And the guy just said, yeah, sure. So I bought, 2 gold out of 25 Tiger inserts from that set, which is kind of cool because then I can pair them together. And as a collector, it makes me less likely to want to sell them.
Yeah, I like that card. All right, and then a couple more golf cards here. You mentioned your guy Matthew Wolf, but I see a few. So I see 3 Matthew Wolf cards here. One very, very popular name in the world of sports. That's a goat.
Yeah. So Matthew Wolf, green PMG. This is the retro green PMG, numbered out of 10. Cool. I think on the back it says numbered out of 100, but again, there's only 10 of them. That one was buy it now, $125. And the moment it popped up, I hit buy it now. A Michael Jordan golf card, which we've talked about in the past.
That's the guy.
It's the guy, MJ. I'm a big MJ golf card fan, actually. I'll talk about one of his cards when we get to the watch list. But two more Matthew Wolfs. One's a diamond relic. I now own three copies of this Matthew Wolf diamond relic card, numbered out of 49. So I'm pretty sure at three copies, I probably have more than anybody else. Can't guarantee that, but probably. And then one of my favorite sets from Goodwin Champions, one of the insert sets, is the Cosmic. It's technically a parallel, because they have Cosmic Base and Cosmic Goody or Gaudy. Mm-hmm. And I'm collecting the full partial set of Cosmic Golfers from 2021 Goodwin's Champions in PSA 10. So I've got like five or six of them down. I've got the two Tigers, the two Colin Morikawas. I've got a Matthew Wolf. I just submitted like five more of them that I think will gem. And so, yeah, it's a little fun project I'm working on as a collector. But I saw this one pop up as a PSA 10 and it sold for like $11 or something. So less than it would cost to actually grade the card. And it's a gemmy. So that was a no brainer for me anyways.
Nicely done. Now on the Michael Jordan 2014 SP Authentic Celebrity Invitational, $2.95 Canadian. What are you going to do? I mean, like, is that a flippable type of situation at some point with the, like, what I know, like, I would think it'd be cool to just have, and I know you're kind of collector first, but I also know you flip to fund your PC and yeah. As you're acquiring these Jordan cards, are there plays there for the flippers with Jordan cards, or are they kind of just cards?
There are plays, but it's one of those things that I don't want to put too much thought into, because like I'll buy them if they're $2, $3, $4. Yeah. Especially if I'm like at my local card shop and they happen to have a Jordan golf card, I'll buy it. Cause it's fun to just walk away out of a store with a Jordan golf card. That one in particular appeared to be in perfect condition. So I will actually submit it for grading. And typically my Michael Jordan golf collection isn't graded. I normally have them, top loaded, and I'm planning on getting we talked before about like a graded card, binder pages. Or mm-hmm. You flip.
Yep,
they also make top loader binder pages. Mm-hmm. So my plan is to get a binder, top loader binder pages, and just throw all my Michael Jordan golf cards in there. And there'll probably be 30, 40 different cards. And it's one of those side.
That'll look cool.
It'll look cool. And I'll just be able to flip through it with my boys and, you know, something for myself. And because of that, I just care about the photography. And so I'm not necessarily chasing a low numbered parallel. So that card that you just showed has a green parallel out of 99. It has a red parallel numbered out of 10. And so those kind of cards would be cool. And I probably would bid on them and try and get one just for my PC, but it doesn't necessarily fit into my low end Michael Jordan golf collection. It's more about going wide for that PC. Just get, you know, every single Michael Jordan golf card that exists and, you know, not really worrying too much about condition or grade or whatever, or scarcity, which is funny. So, actually I'm just going to share a thought quickly and you tell me what you think. So 2021 Goodwin Champions had this Cosmic Parallel, which was brand new, super beautiful. They're all numbered out of 99. They look awesome. So it's one of those numbering where it's like not too low to the point where like, I can't collect them all. But it's not too high to the point where it's kind of not collectible. Like it's nice having them numbered out of 99. And there was two different versions, the base and the Gaudi. 2022 Goodwin Champions just came out. I just complained to you that there isn't many golfers. The other complaint I have is the Cosmic Parallels are numbered out of 199 now. And so to me, that's not super desirable. Like now I can buy the Tiger Cosmics and the Will Zalatoris Cosmics for less because there's more of them. There's twice as many of them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't fit into the PC that I'm collecting because they're different numbering. The numbering's on a different side of the card. It's on the back instead of the front. And they have base, Gaudi, and the splash of color. They've now released a Cosmic Parallel. And I also was kind of disappointed. They just reused the exact same cosmic wallpaper that they used the previous year. It's like, why can't you go on to giftbucket.com or whatever and just get like a different looking space? Like, why is it the exact same?
Like Canva. every year, Canva, for crying out loud.
Canva. Every year Panini releases, you know, tiger print, zebra, whatever.
Yeah.
But year over year, it's not the exact same leopard print. You know what I mean? Like, it looks a little different. So that was, I mean, I'm so disappointed by,
I don't blame
2022
you. I don't
Goodwin
blame
Champions.
I don't love anything that you're saying in terms of what Upper Deck's doing, not doing right now. Seems pretty low budget to me. Ziggy No in the house. What's up, man? Good to see you. Twice in one day. Appreciate you stopping by. Hopefully Mike and I are giving you something to think about here on this golf card strategy show. So Mike, you've got some sells that I'm intrigued that you walk us through. Some of them are golf related. Some of them are not. They might just be helping you buy more golf cards. You want to walk us through some of your sells?
For me, it's all about funding the PC, and I'm just kind of shifting money shifting equity from one part of my collection to another. And golf is relatively new for me. Like, I've been collecting it for 2 or 3 years. Whereas I used to collect basketball as a kid. I had a massive Pokemon collection and, I've collected F1 and other sports through the years. So I got a bunch of my Pokemon cards graded, 60 card submission, and I kept maybe 10 of them are kind of like for sure my PC. And I've sold about 30, 35 of them or so, and probably sold about $2,000 worth of Pokemon cards. And so, you know, as we were flipping through my buys, I think you only got to about half of it. And, so I've been spending a lot leading up to the national, and I've been funding that through selling Pokemon slabs.
Very cool.
And I am going to end up sending a batch of cards to consignment, because I also have a 60 card submission that PSA will pop any day now, probably within the next 2 weeks. And, you know, that's another bill I'll have to pay. So some of the stuff I'm going to send off for consignment, the only two golf cards that I've chosen so far, this Tiger VGS 9.5, we talked about that in a past episode. And then a one of one Sergio Garcia auto PSA 10. That's the card grade, not the grade. So if anybody is interested in either of these cards before I ship it off to ComC, is where I'm going to auction them. Send me a note. Maybe we'll work out a deal. I do have a stack of non-golf as well. I mean, I know this isn't Mike's time to do a flea market share or whatever, but like, I've got like a LeBron Iverson dual patch card, BGS 9.5 numbered out of 50. I'm selling a really high-end Steve Nash card. This is a 2008 PMG numbered out of 50. There's actually only 40 of the red versions. The other 10 are green. It's a PSA 9 pop 2, none higher. So it's one of the best Steve Nash cards that exists. I'm asking, I think, $650 US for it. And then the rest is kind of middle low-end stuff.
Hit up at golf_card_collector on IG. Message Mike if you're interested in any of that. That's good stuff. So one thing in your show notes here that caught my attention from a sports card strategy standpoint is basically, I think all of us, as we transact so much, there comes a time when we realize we need to prioritize our time, and we need to probably offload some things, maybe at the wrong time. Maybe at the quote unquote wrong time, or maybe a better way of saying it is like not the most opportune time to sell cards. But what it does is it replenishes your funds. It replenishes your funds for life. It replenishes your funds for maybe moving into something else that you've been wanting to move into and getting out of having so much money tied up in one thing. Is that something you've been doing recently, Mike?
Yeah, it comes in waves. So I call it Judgment Day, and this is actually a catchphrase from Brett at Stacking Slabs. He's got a cool podcast, and he calls it Judgment Day. And what it means is, either you've been spending too much, you got to pay some bills, or you're saving up for the national, or, you know, leading up to the National, you know, there's going to be a bunch of eBay auctions that you got, you know, you can get some really good deals on. And basically it's saying, I'm going to flip through like every card in my collection and kind of have two piles. There's the stuff that there's absolutely no way I can let it go. And then there's the stuff that it's like, I like this stuff, but holy crap, my pile of stuff I can never let go is actually pretty steep. So maybe I can let this, you know, this other stuff go. And then there's the stuff that, you know, if you don't care about it, then, I mean, that's the low hanging fruit. So yeah, on Judgment Day, you get a pile of cards you'd potentially be willing to sell. And then you just kind of prioritize and say, what are my goals? You know, I need a couple thousand dollars to pick up a grail card for me or to have funds for whatever else. And you just sort of say, all right, flip through. I'm willing to sell this one first and then this one and then this one and then this one. Guesstimate how much each would sell for until you hit the dollar amount you need. And then you say bye-bye, even if you don't want to. So yeah, that's something I have to do two or three times a year. And I'm at that point now because I've been buying so much. And a good example is this Steve Nash card. I mean, this was one of my favorite Steve Nash cards. This is my biggest Steve Nash card. And it's one that I thought I'd never let go. But when I flip through my cards, when I look at like my grail Steve Nash card, it's his Auto Graphics rookie auto card, which sells for about the same price as this one. And I'd rather have the Auto Graphics. So, you know, why keep this? Why keep this when there's another card worth about the same amount of money that I would rather have? And I'm not going to be able to go buy that Auto Graphics card right now, but because I'm focusing on some of these golf pickups. But that's kind of what pushed me over the edge to say, although I love this card and I don't want to let it go, there is one out there that sells for the same value that I want more. So why keep this one when it's tying up, you know, $600, $700, $900, however much it's worth of equity in my collection. And I felt bad. I posted it on the Steve Nash Collectors Facebook group. And the guy I bought it from, because it was a private deal, he liked the post and it hit me think, oh man, like I'm a little embarrassed because like I bought it from him earlier this year. He knows I'm a big Steve Nash fan and I don't want him to think I'm just kind of flipping his card. But so that's why when I sell it, I got to let people know, like, it's not a card I let go loosely, but because of Judgment Day and my prioritization, got to let it go.
Makes sense. Probably hitting home with a lot of people in the audience here. Okay, so here's what I'd like to do for the last 15 minutes of the show. I think we should go into the watch list and then end with the audience Q&A. And then I'm going to tell you all what my play is for my next golf cart that I'm going to buy. So I like the watch list. I can bring up your screenshots here. They're going to be tiny again, but we can go through them. And then you can tell us which of these, I guess focusing on the golf cards, because I see there's a lot of Steve. So Mike loves Steve Nash, but we'll leave the Nash cards out of it. And you can tell us what sort of your thought process is for why you've got some of these guys on your watch list here from a golf standpoint. So I'm going to bring up Mike's watch list here. And here's the first screenshot from his eBay account. Thanks for sharing, Mike. So first one, in case you can't see it, is a 2018 Goodwin's Champion Harris English rookie card auto golf rare black. I'm thinking black ink, probably.
Black ink, yeah. So so first of all, these are the ones that have ended. So you can see at the very top of the screenshot that this is the ended tab of my watch list. And I sent you these just because to show you some stuff I was watching last week. It's a guy exactly like Brian Harman or Keegan Bradley or whatever. He's not a superstar in the world of golf, but he's one of those guys who's a phenomenal golfer, and he very well could just pull off a win at one of the majors next year. And if he did, that $15 card is going to become a $40 card, and it is the rare black ink version. So these are normally blue ink. Black ink historically has actually sold for, like, in some cases, like $50 to $100. So whoever snagged this at $15.50 got a really good deal. It is raw. I mean, people aren't having their eyes on eBay. So I think I had a max bid of $12. I was hoping to get an Uber steal, but someone else had the same thought as me.
It kind of irks me when it's like a few dollars off. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? But putting my bid at $12, I had a feeling I wasn't going to win it. I wasn't going to win it unless nobody else was really watching it.
Yeah.
So somebody else,
you gotta set your line in the sand, you know.
That's right. We'll move on to the Will Zalatoris. So you know how much I love the old school retro exquisite rookie autos that kind of have that Pokemon frame, like the little rectangle at the top that's foil with the beautiful white plain background and a crisp signature below. Stunning looking card. These were selling for $500 to $700 when it first released, and this one just ended at $227 US. I was just talking with a friend about where this particular Will Zalatoris rookie auto out of 49 would settle in the long term, and I guessed it would settle around $200. I bought the Bryson DeChambeau version of this card for $155. We've talked about that in a past episode. So Bryson has a major. Will Zalatoris doesn't. He almost won the U.S. Open, but he got knocked out by Matt Fitzpatrick. So I mean, I think maybe in the long run, if he doesn't pan out, this could be a $100 card or an $80 card. But, you know, in the current world where he's a prospect, and he's one of the guys that actually has cards, I see this as a $200 card. So I missed out on that auction, but I think my max bid was close to like maybe 175-ish.
Here's another Michael Jordan Upper Deck SP Authentic. This must be serial numbered.
That's green out of 99. And yeah, if you actually go to the next picture, there's the a very similar card. Actually, go to the next one. Maybe one more. Sorry, there it is. So that's the Michael Jordan red one. It's $152. Yeah. So that one's numbered out of 10. So that one, I think I had a max bid of like I had a max bid of like 117. I was kind of bummed when it sold for 152. I thought, crap, I should have just put 165 or something and snagged it for the PC. But I have higher priorities. I mean, we didn't get to some of the other buys I've been making, but some of them were pretty expensive. Like I bought a 1927 Bobby Jones Lambert rookie card, PSA 2. And that one, funny story, I thought it was his rookie card when I bought it, and that I was getting a steal for $150. And it turns out 1926 is his rookie card, and 1927 has the exact same photo. It's a different frame around the card. And so I reached out to our community vintage golf card expert, John Morton, and I asked him, hey dude, did I make a bad play here? And he said, you know what, that card doesn't pop up very often, and that's a graded copy, better than a PSA 1. For $150, you got a perfectly good deal. So nice. I was happy about that. And actually I negotiated with the seller because it was listed for, I think, 200 or 250. And it's if you're trying to find it in my, never mind. But the other card I got, I made a deal for two cards. The other one was a Gary Player 1981 or 71. I forget. It's from the 70s or 80s, but it's the very first ever printed Gary Player tobacco card. And also a PSA 2. Both cards, by the way, were beautiful condition for a PSA 2. Like, I'm sure when I get them, there's going to be some kind of crease or some reason that they got a 2. But when it comes to vintage, if the card looks really nice, that's what you look for in vintage. And I got that for $50. So I think it was $200 total for the two cards. And sorry for
watch list wise, anything else you think might be valuable you want to let the audience know about from your watch or what they can be watching for?
The only other one that stood out to me from last week was a Sahith Theegala, who's actually quite popular these days. There was a 2021 Goodwin numbered out of 10. So I think that's like the green parallel, or it's like a turquoise kind of parallel. And that sold for $55. It doesn't say rookie on the card, but it is his rookie year. And, you know, that's the kind of card that, like, last year, if I saw that selling for $55, I would have snap pressed buy it now.
Yeah.
Right. Numbered out of 10 rookie prospect who's on a good trajectory. So, you know, keep an eye out for that kind of stuff. 2022 Goodwin, there's some other parallels I'm watching. So there's the Sky parallel out of 99. And the Ocean parallel numbered out of 75. and the Chameleon parallel out of 49. And those are ones that I'm watching for Tiger and Will Zalatoris, where, you know, if I could pick them up for $10 or less, like the Will Zalatoris ones aren't even selling. Like the auctions are ending at $0 just because nobody wants to pay the $5 or $6 shipping. So, you know, that's an example where I might wait and buy one that has free shipping. But the Tiger ones are selling for, you know, $15, $20, $30, whatever. So, so those are some cool ones for the audience to search for.
Very cool. So you've got, in the QA here, is it Steve Runyon who's asking the question about how much is a triple auto Jack Arnie Omero worth out of 25?
Yeah. And it might have been numbered out of 15. That might be a typo, or maybe it's numbered out of 25, but yeah, he posted asking, hey guys, to our Facebook group, Golf Cards and Memorabilia. He said, hey, I'm a shop owner. I have this triple auto, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Mark Omira, on card autos, numbered out of 25 or 15. And he said, I've had a few offers from people, you know, passing through the store. And he said, what do you guys think it's worth? And maybe you've already read my pre-show notes, but, you know, without any spoilers, what would you have guessed a card like that is worth?
What brand is it?
It's Upper Deck from ballpark like 2008 or mid 2000s. So it's none of their, you know, rookie years or anything, but it is a proper Upper Deck card, pack pulled. It definitely would have been a chase card.
And it's raw?
It is raw, yeah.
Okay. Only because there's Omira on it. That would, to me, bring the value down quite a bit, only because you've got Jack and Arnie are in a class of their own. And unless that third person's Tiger, then that, regardless of who the third person is, and I know Omira's legit and everything like that, but he's not a household name. And so Jack and Arnie are. And so if with Omira, here's my guess, with Omira off of it, it's like $1,000 card, but with Omira on it, it's more like $450.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty similar to what
I'm saying. Am I in the ballpark at all?
Yeah, for sure you are. Okay. So the consensus was, actually, the consensus was more like $600-ish.
Okay.
$600-$700 would be like a fair price if you get it for less than that. If you got it for the $450 range, people said that'd be a great deal.
Yep.
Some people were saying it's only worth $300 or $400. A couple people said $1,000. So there's outliers, but we got a lot of people commenting on that post. So yeah, you're in the right ballpark. I said the exact same thing. I said, Mark Omira detracts from the card. And you know, therefore I think it's worth kind of $600 to $700. Then Mark Omira's brother, Brian Omira, comments on the post.
No way.
And he says, awesome. He says, I know some people think Mark would detract from this card, but for me, it really adds a lot of value.
Of course it does.
And he says, I picked this card up for, I forget. Oh, I should have written it down. He picked it up for like $500, you know, 15 years ago. So he picked it up for that price a long time ago.
I see.
And I immediately had a ping of guilt, like, just like he was like, yeah, of course it uses your brother. But then I felt the need to explain to him, cause I don't know if this guy is like super into the hobby. Cause he just had like a handful of guys like shitting all over his brother. And he even mentioned something like, oh, you know, my brother, he's a 2-time major champion and Hall of Fame player. And he even actually, funny enough, the two guys on this card, Jack and Arnie, were helpful in giving him the nod to get into the Hall of Fame. So that's another reason it's extra special. So I replied to him. I said, hey man, like, I just wanted to explain myself, because Mark Omira by all means is a legend of the game. However, you know, in this weird hobby that that we're in, hopefully our listeners, most of them probably already know, but for those who don't, when you've got a GOAT and you pair them on a card, a dual auto card or a triple auto card with another player, regardless of if there's a superstar or an all-star or whatever, pairing them with anybody who's below their level will detract from the value of the card. You know, a Michael Jordan and Tracy McGrady card is going to be worth, dual auto is going to be worth less than just a Michael Jordan card. A Jordan and LeBron card is going to carry a premium. you know, LeBron Allen Iverson card isn't probably.
Yeah, I'd say that's exactly right. And the only other way I would maybe describe it is that you're introducing an element of, does the prospective market collect also that other player and then also that third player or whatever? And so it's less about Omira and it's more about the fact that you're introducing this variable to the market and you're changing the total market size. You're changing the buyer pool. You're negatively affecting the buyer pool by adding something to the card that is a variable that even and if it's not there, then you just have a straight up market for that. Like the people who collect that one athlete. But when you add a second athlete to that, even if it, I would argue, I mean, now like LeBron and Jordan, I agree with you, but I'm saying I would even argue that like in some cases you would be affecting the value of a Jordan card by adding LeBron, because now you're potentially taking away interest from people who all of a sudden just don't collect LeBron. And so that could negatively affect the Jordan card. So I think it's funny that you said that, because it's exactly what I was going to say before you. It's really cool that Marco.
No, man, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think we should take that, the first part of your explanation there, and clip it and throw it on TikTok, because that's a really, really well worded explanation. But I think I wouldn't do that
on my team.
Without debating too much, I don't think. I mean, sure, there's going to be some Jordan collectors who don't want to do a LeBron card, but that doesn't matter. I think there would be enough collectors who want the dual Jordan LeBron card for that to therefore, even at auction, to sell for higher than like a LeBron or Jordan card would individually or even combined for those two cards.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But that's
what I would tell Lomira's brother. Is that like,
yeah,
it's not even about.
It's a nuance of the Mark market Lomira. Of this hobby.
You could even argue that, like, and I don't think this would happen. But you could even argue that, like, taking Arnie and Jack off of that card, introducing it to Omira collectors could help, could potentially help the value of not that card, but just a Marco Omira card. Like, I don't know. That's a bad example, but I think that, like,
actually, I disagree, because, like, if there were a triple auto card of Jordan, LeBron, and Steve Nash, I would far rather have that than any Steve Nash auto cards.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird scenario in that, like, it introduces,
and that explains why it's such.
Well, Mira is so different than those other two. I think that's the point, right? He is so different than those other two that it's hard to take my sort of generalization example of the market with that specific example, or with like a Nash, Jordan, LeBron kind of thing. But like, I'm thinking of like a Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bain, Zaire Williams from the Memphis Grizzlies, right? Like that card is not necessarily going to be appealing to all Memphis Grizzlies fans. It's definitely not going to be appealing to all Jaren Jackson fans. Definitely not going to be appealing to all Desmond Bain fans or Zaire Williams collectors. So now you're in a situation where it's like, you've negatively affected the market for that entire card by introducing a second and especially a third player on that card. It's a different topic, I think, than your specific example, but it's an interesting topic nonetheless. So, and I would definitely wouldn't have known that like year one in the hobby versus like year three, four, five, et cetera. So
totally. All right. We're spitting some truth. Before you tell us what card you're going to buy, I just want to give a shout out to Jordan Morton. That's John Morton's wife. John Morton is like key member of our community. He's been selling a lot of his vintage collection to Consolidated and some really big vintage golf cards. So I really want to see an update sometime soon on what kind of projects John's been working on. But his wife, Jordan, used to be a professional golfer. And after a 10-year hiatus, finally went back to play in a professional golf tournament at the Tennessee State Open, and had a shaky start. Some nerves were hitting her, but then second round 73, and which is pretty good for the ladies. And she tied 22nd. So it's good for you.
That's awesome, Jordan. Congratulations. Like to see you representing Tennessee. I'll have to look up where the Tennessee State Women's Open was played. See if it's anywhere near where I live, but that's very cool. Congratulations, Jordan. All right. So, Mike, I think it's time.
Yes.
I know the entire audience has been just hanging on every word that you've been saying just to get to who I'm going to buy. But I'm telling you, I've added I've added all of the, you can see it right here. I've added all of these John Rahm cards to my watch list.
Yes.
So I will be making a play. I'm just going to tell all of you right now. And if you want to like, whatever, I don't care. They're all best offers. So you can make better offers than I do to this seller. Congratulations to the, to these sellers. You're going to make some money, but I just think, so following my logic here, I would, so we all felt great at the beginning of this show about my Scheffler play. You did, Evan Bell did, I do. I got Scheffler PSA 5, 2017. So his rookie SI for kids for $99. I would think I could make an offer on this ROM PSA 7 rookie card for $99 and hopefully get it. I mean, maybe
not if I do it first.
There you go. Exactly. So I'm saying, so Mike likes it. So there's a lot of ROMs to go around though here. And then they're a little bit cheaper, around $50 for the raw, but I would probably, buy raw grade at PSA and then just roll the dice and see what I get. And even, I'd even put a
You're going to go for the seven, aren't you? Cause if you buy one,
I'm going to go for the seven. I'm saying if I don't get the seven, I'm going if somebody snipes me on the seven, which I don't think will happen, then, I'll go for the raw, but yes, you're right. I'm definitely going to go for the seven. Cause I see where you're going with that. It's like, why would I go $50 plus the grading fee and the taxes and the shipping and all of that and the time on the clock to get the grade back? What if it's not? I mean, a seven's a great grade.
The biggest part is the risk that it'll come back a three or four or five.
I'm going to make this offer right now.
There you go. On screen. I love it. Just hide your credit details.
I think I'm going $99.
99, same as Scheffler.
Should I go lower? I mean, it could.
The only thing, Paul, is if you win this card before the episode ends, you still owe me one more card before September.
All right, fine. I'm doing that.
I'm just kidding.
Offer sent. Here we go. Right. Let's see what happens.
$99. That's like you are officially the $99 golf card collector.
Hey, maybe I need to start a second Instagram account. $99
golf card collector. $99 SI for kids.
Specifically SI for kids. It doesn't get more niche than that. I only buy, not only is golf cards a niche, but now I'm going only $99 SI for kids PSA graded rookie of guys who golf only cards. Have SI for kids cards.
Can you do a quick look before we finish the episode? I think it was Evan. One of them just popped up saying, don't sleep on Max Homa. I totally agree. Max is such a solid player. He's got a good attitude. Like a reporter asked him, what do you think of this, you know, little mini slump that you're in, or do you even think you're in a mini slump? He's like, no, I played great last week and I had one bad round and whatever, but like, did you see how many birdies I got? Like he's not cocky, but he's got his head on right. Like he's not the kind of guy.
He kind of looks like Evan Bell.
Yeah, oh, really? And he's Evan also Bell. The kind of guy who, so at the Open on his glove, he wrote, that's funny.
Sorry, go ahead.
At the Open, he wrote in a Sharpie on his white golf glove, NFG. Now, I don't need to drop an F-bomb on the podcast, but it means no effing good. And it was his way of staying grounded and saying, you know, don't get too high on yourself, you know. And they asked him about that. And he just said it's his way of staying humble while he's on the golf course. I think he's just a great personality. He's made a massive leap in his career over the last year and a half. And all he has to do is win a big tournament, show up at the playoffs, have a massive putt at the Ryder Cup or something like that. And he will kind of get catapulted to the next level. So when you just did a quick search for Max Homa, were there any SI for kids or anything?
No, here's the problem I have with golf cards. And look, I mean, I don't mean to end the show on a negative note, but Krabby Mike actually started the show on a negative note. So we could actually end it on a negative note. That's fine. The problem I have with golf cards is that, like, while I love that people like Evan and yourself are like, hey, let's prospect, let's look at guys like Max Homa, there's literally an index card that's authenticated auto of Max Homa. I mean, props to PSA for authenticating a freaking index card and slabbing it. I mean, come on. But like, what are we doing here in the golf card world where we've got a prospect you guys are talking about, and there's a future stars, which we're familiar with from past episodes of the Golf Card Strategy Show.
Yeah, it's just that's the one made in some mom's basement or garage,
which is garbage. And then you've got a PSA DNA certified authentic auto index card. Evan, have at it. Go get yourself an index card, brother.
Love it. You know I love it. All right, hey, let's all listeners, Paul, you, me, let's bombard Upper Deck.
Yep.
Leaf, Brian Gray's personal Instagram. Let's just bombard them saying, let's fix golf cards. Let's do it right. Let's make a new set that has prospects, base cards, parallels. If you can't get autographs, it's not the end of the world. And we just want, you know, a couple hundred of modern golfers from North America.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree. Fanatics even come in and save this place. Save us.
All right. So Paul's going to draft up a well-worded letter that we can all send to our local governors.
I will. Mike, great work today, man. Anything else you want to add before we sign off?
That's all. I mean,
save golf cards.
Yeah. Save golf cards. I haven't been sleeping a lot late nights with the baby. So that's probably next episode. There'll be a lot more buys to share because sleep deprivation doesn't help with impulse control.
I know, it gets you right on that eBay. Just click and buy it now. Gotta love it. All right, Mike. Good work, man. Love to the fam. And we won't see you at the National this year, but I'm sure we'll see you in the future face-to-face at some point. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to the Golf Card Strategy Show. Appreciate the love and the comments from Evan Bell, Jeremy Lee stopping by, Ziggy No. We love all you guys. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. We're out.